The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for being here. I will entertain you for the next 30 minutes by putting blue paint on my face and making believe I'm a member of the Blue Man Group. Enough. Welcome to the program. My God, thanks for being here. Really very, 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 very nice. Very, 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 very nice. Okay, social media-wise, thanks for being here. I feel like I do everything for social media. I don't understand why I feel that way. Like me. You've got to like me. I feel like Sally Field. You've got to like me. All I want is your approval. I want you to like me. I never cared if anybody liked me or not, but my social media manager tells me that I must do so. I must be liked. I must be followed. I must be reviewed. And I must be subscribed to. That's a lot of stuff that's going on here, and I don't understand a word of it. I'm floored by it. I can't stand it. I've been in radio for 30 years, and now I've got to worry about people liking me. I never cared about that before. It's not my thing. As a matter of fact, when people told me, "Ron, you know I like you," I would respond by going, "Oh." Don't like me, love me. Why isn't that a term? I saw your post. Did you love it? No. Did you like it? Yeah, I guess. Actually, I didn't even like it. I was just being polite. What? But you said that you liked the picture of spaghetti that I posted yesterday. Last night I had spaghetti with a gigantic meatball right in the middle. And I took a picture of it because I thought it was beautiful. And I ate it. So I thought I would tell everybody, "Hey, everybody, I had spaghetti last night. And look at it. This is the spaghetti that I ate and put in my mouth and then subsequently swallowed. And I want everybody to know that I had spaghetti last night. Oh, no, I didn't have pork chops. Oh, no, 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 no. Did I take a picture of pork chops? No, I did not. It was spaghetti. And I ate it." Oh, Ron, I like that. You like what I ate last night? Yeah, you went to the trouble of sending me a picture of your spaghetti. I like that. My God, I like that. Nobody likes it, ladies and gentlemen. When you send a picture of food, nobody likes it. They're just being polite. They're placating you. What they're really saying is, "What an asshole." But I guess I'll just, you know, doesn't bother me to just click on something that says I liked it. I don't even have to say I liked it. I just click the mouse and get rid of them for now. It's really seriously ridiculous. And then people post these sayings as if they are Confucius or something, you know. Yeah. Life is beautiful if only you'll live it that way. Did you hear what they posted? Life is beautiful if you live it that way. I like that. What? Well, if that person said it to you, to your face, you'd probably say, get the hell out of here. Why are you talking to me like that? You're weird. I like that. Stop it. Stop it. Confucius, you know why Confucius was like way back when there were people who said things all the time. Confucius was like that. Confucius was this person that went around somewhere in the Far East, and Confucius just like would blurt out these little sayings, and people would go, that was Confucius said that. I mean, if I had said it, they would have not even, what an idiot. But if Confucius said it, oh, no, it's a big deal. Oh, no, it's Confucius said it. God, come on. Confucius, I'm going to bed now. Okay, good night. Confucius said good night. Post that immediately. People will like that. Confucius was probably annoying. Shakespeare was a pain in the ass, too. No one could understand a word this guy was saying. He lived in England, in the Stratford-upon-Avon area. I don't know where he lived. I'm making this up. But he talked like really strange.
And did you hear Shakespeare yesterday?
What did he say?
I don't know. I can't understand a word he's saying. He said, thou goest upon us thou feet, and restest thou maiden upon thy laden fish.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
And then Shakespeare started writing plays like that.
Oh, cometh upon me death, and rid me of this feeling of woesome and loathsome feelings of life. Come upon me, thou says.
What? What did you mean? Say that in English? Oh, it is in English.
I don't know what he said. I don't know.
But people go to his plays. That was an incredible play, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Do you know what it was about?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. They're popular. I know. Like Blue Man Group, same thing. Blue Man Group, same thing. Bunch of guys on a stage painting themselves blue and hitting barrels of water, and it goes splashing all over, and then they take some toilet paper and they throw it around. I don't know the difference between Blue Man Group and a fraternity of drunken bastards. I don't know the difference. I don't know the difference. And Blue Man Group is still popular all over the United States, and I don't understand why. They put blue all over them. They are totally blue, and I don't know if that's racist or what. I don't know if there's a blue thing. Be like cops would be blue, right? No, I don't know. I don't know if that's racist or not. I mean, what if they were red? That would be like an insult to the American Indian, you know? So I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. I really don't. I really don't. Ron, did you love the Blue Man Group performance?
No.
No. You want to go again?
All right.
I wonder if Blue Man Group has a Facebook page where I would like them, because I don't. I don't like them. Anyway, social media, man. God damn. What a pain in the ass. Gosh. They have all different... They have influencers. I don't understand what that is. I guess they're people who influence other people to do things. Wouldn't that be like a carnival barker kind of thing? Or they're on YouTube, the influencers, I believe. I don't know much about this. I'm talking out of my ass. Well, Ron, you always do. Okay, fine. Good. Well, then this is good. I think they influence people to do things. I don't know what they would influence them to do, though, is the thing. I know on TikTok, the kids love... Oh, the kids. Oh, the kids. The kids. The kids. TikTok's fantastic because that is run by the Chinese government, apparently. And what a better way for the Chinese government to screw up American society but to offer them TikTok and make subtle references to challenge the American people by drinking 5 gallons of chemicals. That's your challenge. It's the 5-gallon chemical challenge. Let's try it. There was a TikTok thing where they influenced people, kids in school, to go into their public bathrooms in the school, the boys' room and the girls' room in the in their schools, and to trash them, to pull the sinks out of the walls and all that kind of stuff. That was a TikTok thing. Oh, okay. Sounds like a great idea. Who asked you to do it? TikTok, the Chinese government did. Why did you ruin the boys' room? Why did you pull the sinks and stuff the toilets and make a mess for the custodian and cause thousands of dollars worth of damage? Oh, Chinese government asked me to do it, so we did. Okay, all right, sounds perfectly sane to me. That's what we're dealing with. Remember, people used to get bullied in the schoolyard, you know, during recess, that kind of thing, where some kids would go up to a person, and a weak person, and rib them and pull up their pants and, you know, and punch them and all that kind of thing, bully them and tell them, oh, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're ugly. Remember those bullies? Now you can do that on social media. It's easy. It's easy. You just, whenever someone says something on social media, you respond to it. And you say to them, you're an asshole. And they commit suicide. It's really, thank you, social media. You've really screwed things up royally for everybody. Remember the days when people had an opinion if you talked to them? Now they have an opinion even if you don't talk to them. You can literally go on Yelp, and I don't understand what that is. It sounds like someone's choking you. Yelp. Yelp. I don't know why they choose names like this. You can go on Yelp and review a restaurant and say, I went into the Wendy's yesterday, and I had a cheeseburger, and it was cold, and it wasn't very good. And a day later, you'll get a response to that that says, you're an asshole, you should die. What? This is just so stupid. Something's wrong here. And you can't do anything about it because, you know, here with a democracy, it's a free country. Well, it's not free. I pay a lot of money in taxes. It's not free. It's not free. But it's a freedom country. Freedom country. So you can do and say whatever you want pretty much. And that sucks. Because certain people should not be allowed to do that, because this should be a country of regular people and assholes. And the assholes can't do the things that the regular people can do because they screw things up all the time. But it's a free society, so the assholes can speak freely. So we have to put up with them. I put up with one who was president for 4 years. I know. So I'll tell you, I'm chagrined. And again, I'm a little bit older than you are by about 6 minutes. And when I was growing up, we didn't have social media, and things were so good. So good. So good. I don't need to connect to people. I, you know, I used to write letters. When's the last time you wrote a letter to somebody? Not at all, right? Generation P. Again, I am Generation P because I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pee. Generation X, Generation W, I don't know. You guys have no concept. We used to write letters to each other through the mail system. Post office, you mean? Yeah, it was a mail system. Gmail? No, not Gmail. It was regular mail. What's regular mail? You know, the people in truck that deliver the papers and the envelopes to your house? Oh, they still have those? Yes, they do. Before there was email, there was mail. And we used to write letters. We used to write letters to people. We'd sit down and we'd write a letter. Really? What do you mean by write? Excuse me? What do you mean by write a letter? How would you do that? Did you print it? No. We would take a pen, and we would take a piece of paper and we would write our thoughts on the paper. And you printed in print? Well, it was a thing called writing. It was like script. Script. You had to read a script? No, you don't even understand what I'm talking about. We sat down and we wrote a letter with a pen. And then we would fold it in threes, you know, trifold. And we put it in an envelope and put the person's address or the company's address. And we would give it to the post office, put a stamp on it. Really? It seems like a lot of work. I can just go to my computer and just do that in like 2 seconds. Yeah, I know. I know you can. I know that. I know. Sad. Does it make me want to cry? No, not that much. But it's sad. Just that's all memories. Memories of things gone by. It's sad. Maybe on tomorrow's show I'll talk about artificial intelligence. Because here's what's interesting. The things that have intelligence are the artificial things. The real things don't have any intelligence anymore. It's been shifted around. People are not intelligent. They're becoming stupider, lazier, and stupider. The machines, incredibly intelligent and attractive. I don't understand it, man. I don't know why I have some type of sexual attraction to Siri and Alexa. I don't know what they look like. I don't think I have to. I think I'm being catfished, really. I've never met them, really. Never sat down at a restaurant with Alexa. I mean, there are people named Alexa, and those people need to change their names immediately. Yeah, I named my daughter Alexa about 20, 25, 30 years ago. And she's not having a good time right now. People think that she's the real Alexa. And when I call her name, all of a sudden, all the machines in my house light up and ask me what I want. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Who knew? Who knew? Get your name changed from Alexa to Sally immediately. Artificial intelligence. Scary. Oxymorons. Oh, man, it's a problem. It's a real problem. We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems that we've created for ourselves, and we can't correct them anymore. It's Pandora's box. Do you know what Pandora is with her box? No, not the music company, not the jewelry company. There's another Pandora. It's a thing. Had a box. Pandora had a box. And when she opened the box, all these horrible things came out. She couldn't get them back in the box, and they were released into society. There's a lot of Pandora boxes going around. You can't put it back. It's like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. I use that analogy frequently because it's literally impossible to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Can't do it. Same as what's going on with society. It's fucked up, and there's nothing we can do about it. And people don't even know how to regulate what we've created. Things need regulation, otherwise they get out of hand, because there are nasty people on the planet. Did you know that? Did you know that? There are nasty people on the planet, and they'll take something good and they'll turn it into evil. It's what they do. And so we walk around saying, well, yeah, there's a lot of good to it, but there's a lot of bad to it as well. Okay, good. That is not working out then. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. I have a guest who will be joining us. And, well, we'll take it from there. What do you think, huh? All right. But first, this.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Lee Abrams joins us. She's senior business leader, emerging renewable fuels for Honeywell, sustainable technology solutions business unit. It's a lot of title there. You must have a large business card.
Yeah, they gave me an oversized one.
Okay, good. We're talking about something that is quite interesting to me, actually, and we're talking about e-fuel. What is that?
So e-fuel is also known as an electrofuel. Uh-huh. These are a class of synthetic fuels that are low carbon and replace conventionally produced fossil fuel. They're essentially the same fuel that you use today, but the source of the carbon inside that fuel is renewable energy and CO2.
Now, so what exactly is renewable energy as opposed to what we've been using now for gasoline?
Well, so renewable energy is wind or solar or other kind of ways to make electricity, right? And so what e-fuels are fuels that are made by the power of that electricity, which is used to separate water into hydrogen and oxygen.
Oh.
And I know I'm getting really technical here, but that hydrogen that is made can be converted alongside CO2 into something that looks very much like a fuel we use today.
Okay. So bottom line, no oil, no coal, nothing like that.
That's right.
Wow. How long will it take before we start realizing this in aviation?
Well, the customer that our first project is with is actually looking to deliver fuel for flight before 2030.
Okay, that's not too bad. Will this be transformed into all fuels? For example, cars is pretty much what I'm looking at. Is that feasible?
It's feasible. We are focused on sustainable aviation fuel, which again is a replacement for our conventional jet fuel in use today.
I mean, I assume when you're talking about jet fuel and a flight, say cross country, a considerable amount of fuel is consumed in the air. I assume it's like more than considerable.
Yeah, it certainly a large use of a fuel.
Yeah. And that fuel is expanded into the air in high altitudes, and obviously not a good thing. Percentage-wise, is there any forecast as to how this will help the environment?
Yeah. So when used, this fuel can essentially reduce the greenhouse gas emissions by 88%.
Whoa.
Compared to conventional jet fuel.
Holy
yep.
crap, that's a lot. Wow. Wow. How is this developed? I mean, where did this come from all of a sudden?
Well, Honeywell has a long history of developing technologies, and you know what we're really doing is looking at what's needed, in particular where I sit, and part of that big title, right, is our sustainable technology
yes.
solutions business.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're looking for those solutions that allow us to really make meaningful changes to the tools that mm-hmm. our world has available for sustainability.
Yeah.
So this is one of those where we're leveraging right. what we know in developing technologies and taking things that look a little bit similar to the problem we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using those here to create a new technology that allows wow. us to do something like turn CO2 and hydrogen
yeah.
into jet fuel.
This is major stuff. We are somewhat familiar with ethanol, as we're seeing that at the gas pumps when we fill up our cars, we see the ethanol mixture. What does that mean for ethanol producers as far as the jet fuel is concerned?
Well, last year Honeywell actually launched a technology to convert ethanol into jet fuel as well, which is a process that's really targeted at taking something that's a widely available material like ethanol and converting it into something that helps address a new sustainability challenge.
Yeah. How does this affect the industry cost-wise?
This process is complex,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of cost, there are a lot of sort of mandates and incentives
yes.
driving adoption
good.
Of these eSAF, or again, that's sustainable aviation fuel
yeah.
Type of fuel. And the reason is because, well, we see how are we going to go about this? Generally, governments are looking for either mandates or incentives for the production mm-hmm. of these fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And those make these a lot more cost competitive to be able to make.
Yeah. Well, that's you. Unfortunately, in this country, people think about cost before they do thinking about planet. But you know, I guess there has to be somewhat of a balance somewhere, at least. Lee, does the aircraft have to be specially outfitted in order to accept this type of fuel?
No, that's one of the big advantages of SAF or even eSAF. Both of them are drop-in replacement fuels when they're blended with conventional jet fuel
Perfect.
That require no changes to aircraft or fuel infrastructure.
Wow.
And that's really important because
yeah.
that means that we can use it today. We don't have to wait for the infrastructure to change
mm-hmm.
and the lifetime of a plane is fairly long.
Mm-hmm.
So this is important to be able to start now on, making aviation more sustainable.
Great. And this would be for any type of aviation aircraft of any sort.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Okay. What about the safety in production and in use of the e-fuel? Better, worse, the same?
I mean, this is going to be similar to a refining process mm-hmm. that is operated today. So it's something that we as a industry have a lot of experience in making sure that those operate safely.
Okay.
And that same standard will be applied here.
Well, this is good stuff. I like this. How can we get more information? Should one have any other questions?
Well, we do have a website. That's a good place to start. And through that website, if that doesn't answer all of those questions, there's a form to reach out to us and learn more.
Perfect. Lee Abrams, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you so much for your time. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until then, like me. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me. Subscribe to me. Touch me. No, don't touch me. Like me.